This is Will Holland, aka Quantic, and you're listening to Agent J on Groovement.
Hola, yo soy la madre del agente J. Ustedes están escuchando Groovement.
I'm joined by Will Holland, a.k.a. Quantic. Will, what brings you to sunny Manchester today?
I came up last night in the driving rain and darkness to play a club night called Friends and Family. I've been doing it for several years now. Always good fun, and just sitting here and having some brunch.
Are you travelling around at the moment? You recently got married. You don't want to just stay settled down and that's it now?
Well, I'm trying to I've postponed my honeymoon after the festive season. So we're just over here, yeah, doing a few dates, doing Friends and Family and also a Brighton date with the label, and just kind of having a little bit of a winter tour. But mainly just been preparing the new Quantic album, kind of been busy doing that, and I had to come over to do a lot of like the mastering for that as well. So.
Is that total production duties again for you?
Well, it's actually the name of the record's going to be it's a new group, Quantic and his combo Barbaro, which is a group I put together in Cali with four or five like native Cali musicians, basically, and just trying to just me on production duties and then also playing in the band as well.
Do you find yourself working with maybe older musicians? I don't know. Do you find yourself handing over more of the musical duties because it's sort of you trust them, as opposed to when you maybe first started out, it's all your own stuff and you've got ownership over everything? Or did you struck a nice balance?
I think it's probably I am handing over more duties just because I think I've got more trust now with the musicians I'm working with, and their abilities are far greater than anyone I've worked with before. I think like all these, like that, especially with dance music, it's fairly self-explanatory. Like a funk rhythm is like a funk rhythm, and people kind of just go about their business when you mention funk. And the same thing with all the Latin rhythms, Wawanko and Huaraches and stuff. It's they're all like little mechanisms of rhythms that are very set, you know. So it's just you have to. It's understood very well, like what they are before you start.
In a jazz sort of sense, you've got your bass and you're improvising on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So you've just got to come at like interesting angles or interesting themes, interesting like melodic ideas.
Still wanting to contact other musicians in Colombia to work with? Are you going to sort of travel around Colombia and try and dig out people in a Buena Vista style-y?
Well, I have been working with, obviously, Alfredito Linares in Cali, and I've just started working with a guy called Wilson Barbero, who did a lot of the percussion on the Fuentes stuff. The trouble is in Colombia is just like a lot of like kind of post-colonial places, like in Africa too. Like I don't think the musicians really like fared too well in all of it, and especially in Colombia, like there's a lot of I'd say the greats like don't really, most of them like died in the 80s due to like either drugs or just kind of just getting caught up in the whole kind of bad period Colombia went through in the 80s. So it's quite difficult now to find people. I mean, I'd say like the accordion players fare pretty well, like Anabel Velasquez and Lisandro Meza, definitely like still playing. Like I've heard they're really old, but they're playing very well. So it's definitely a wealth of people to discover, but it's just the time to do it, isn't it? So.
Do you tend to find that your sets now are more geared towards investigating different styles of Latin music as opposed to, say, your more traditional black funk and soul, late 60s sort of stuff?
I think so, yeah, probably. I mean, I think we've got to remember that there was a time that when in England, you know, it was a certain group of DJs playing funk, soul, you know, be it the Northern Soul scene or, you know, like the way Kev Darge kind of got deep funk known in the UK. I think, you know, that all happened because people were playing it and people were kind of educating people through the music, be it just by listening to it, but they were getting exposed to it. And I think it's time, like, I don't think there's, at the moment, there's a big recognition for, like, Brazil and probably Cuba through Buena Vista Social Club, but I think in the mainstream there's not really a recognition of, like, what's the music of Venezuela like.
I saw the front of a magazine the other day saying, Cumbia, the new salsa. That seems to be buzzwords that people jump onto, isn't it?
Well, the thing is with cumbia is, yeah, I mean, there's so many different types of cumbia, it's a widespread, and it's, yeah, it's, for me, I think cumbia works well because I think people feel less, there aren't that many things attached to it. For instance, like, with salsa, if you say salsa, people immediately think of, like, middle-aged couple dancing and not anything that's actually related to, like, salsa in the South America. Mm. But I think cumbia hasn't got any of those stigmas sort of related to it. So at the moment, it's like quite a clean word.
Play a different set in Manchester, I guess, than you would in Cali. Do you get to do like smoky bars in Cali and play around with what you're playing? And do you get good feedback in Colombia, where the music might be from? Before you moved there, was your knowledge good enough to know exactly what you were doing, or are you still on a learning journey, really?
No, I think if I listened to what I recorded, like myself when I went there, I think it was quite, like, I've come on leaps and bounds since then. Musically speaking, yeah, I've definitely discovered like a lot more, but since I've obviously been living in Colombia and acclimatized there, like, I would say that you got to remember this is a nation of collectors, so it's like, it's not like I'm going there and people are like, oh, we don't know what the music that we have, you know, what happened. It's like there are porro sound systems, there's cumbia sound systems, there's like African music sound systems, so it's like people who treasure their own music. Not like nationwide, but there are a few who do that, and they were obviously Cali. The unique thing about Cali is it's a salsa town, so it's a place of historic meaning, I guess, for like salsa music. I mean, it's something that kind of they're like the guardians of sort of salsa music, and which is kind of a shame because it's a music that really didn't like come from that region.
Yeah,
and it's like it's like Northern Soul, you know, it's the same thing. There's big. Went to one the other day, you know, there's big like little collectors meetings and everyone plays their favourite records and there's like an overhead projector and they put the record on there and everyone kind of talks about
it. It's about preservation.
Yeah, it's about preservation, but it's not necessarily about you could argue that there's lots of culture that gets from Cali, you know, itself that probably gets neglected, but I can't talk because I'm in Colombia, so.
What do you do? Is there vinyl there?
I used to say it was a city paved with records when I first went to Cali, because I found
them. Well, you bought them all.
Yeah. That's the house full of records. No, there are a lot of records. The shocking thing is with Columbia's, everything was so like such short runs. Like if a record was a first time artist, they would only press like today, you know, like 600, like 500, 600 records. Yeah. So it's pretty shocking, you know, to try and find something.
Well, then if you're looking for a rare record, does that tend to be expensive, or is it not because people don't know about it?
It depends. There's a mentality in Colombia, unfortunately, with a lot of people that outside is better. So I think they would always uphold like a Puerto Rican press of like, you know, a Grand Combo record over something that's Colombian. Really. So right, I think, but that is changing. I think Colombian collectors and musicians are starting to realize like the value of Colombian culture and that it is something different. Meanwhile, like Mexicans come down to Colombia, you know, looking for cumbia, and it's so strange. Yeah, and then like Mexican ranchero is really big in Colombia too. Yeah. So it's kind of all these little exchanges going on.
Yeah. So when you're 60, Will, do you want to be in Colombia playing guitar, doing this, and DJing occasionally? Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be back over in sunny England?
I don't think I'm ready to. My mother probably wouldn't want to hear this, but I don't think I'm ready to come back to England now. I plan to go to Cali for 6 months just to do a bit of research and find some records and stuff. But you know, that's nothing. Like there's no that went in, you know, in 5 minutes. And I think there's more to be explored. Like I think, it's not just about Colombia. I think there's a lot going on in Peru and stuff. And it's interesting. I feel it's like it's an area of musically speaking that's been neglected, really. I think, like I said to you, like I think Brazilian music has been. If you go and say, you know, to Brazil to somebody on the street, they'll be, you know, they'll think of samba, batucada, and I think there's no people don't know what exists outside of Brazil, really, in Latin America. I think. I don't think people are aware that there's all these different styles and all these different scenes and stuff. I mean, even just in Venezuela alone, there's so much music that's come out there which just needs to be heard.
As you're discovering different stuff, are you going to carry on doing sort of project albums like Flowering Inferno? One was more of a Quantic Presents rather than Quantic Flowering Inferno, wasn't it? And you've got, like you said, a new banda as well.
Yeah, I think I will. I think it's getting harder. Like I think people are more reluctant to take risks these days, and I think they want, unfortunately, like, well, you could say unfortunately, but or fortunately, the Quantic name has become like the best way of sort of presenting a project because it's a name people know, and I think people in this like time of credit crunch and hard up record labels, you know, that like a lot of record labels falling and closing and stuff. So it's becoming harder to come to people and say, hey, like I found this guy, you know, he plays the flauta de mio and he's going to do a record, you know, just folkloric music. Do you want to put it out? You know, it's kind of getting hard.
So you're lucky in a sense to have known True Thoughts quite well and go out drinking with them and all that. Have they coped well with the move?
I think everyone's learning really with this music, and especially like even with just, I think it's the language change as well, because it's not just, you know, you're suddenly doing music in a different language as well. But no, they've been very supportive, and I think they recognise that good music is good music. And
it's like last night, which Friends and Family, where you don't just get, you get people going, you know, for the Latin vibe and start swinging their hips, but 2 hours later, if they're still there, then I think that's a good message, really, because they're not just getting tired of it and it's not just something new, it's that they're actually loving it.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what I mean? Not just like hearing a salsa at the piano and going, ooh, and then getting up and then getting tired of it.
Well, I think there's that bad stigma attached to salsa, which is just like, you know, like I say, it's like ballroom dancing. I mean, the representation of salsa here is pretty terrible, I'd say, like in England. You know, I wouldn't have got into salsa. Just the reason I got into salsa is I heard other types, but I didn't hear in England. I think the other thing to say is, like, I think people need to, yeah, it's just about realizing there's more out there, like, with regards to, how do I say this? Like, I think the point of reference, especially for, like, the music we play in clubs, is mainly sort of probably like Afro-American soul and blues and stuff like that. That's kind of like the basis, isn't it? Like for hip-hop and funk, all those things came from that root. But I think people need to realise there's like Afro-Colombian culture, there's Afro-Peruvian culture, and those things are just as funky, and they come from the same roots. Like it's just this part of the same tree. Okay, it's in a different language, but you know, it's still the same sentiment and still the same vibe, and it's still as funky, you know, but it's just not like I'm realizing now it's like that kind of culture of breakbeat, like kind of it's got a break and it's like it's not really about that anymore. It's just, you know, there's all different types of breaks. It doesn't have to be like boom boom, you know. It's, yeah, there's like great cumbia breaks. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay, we'll better get on to breakfast in a minute. I just wanted to ask you a couple more things. Magnetic fields. Was that just the 245s? Do you ever see yourself dipping back into that?
We did 345.
Do you need to find another crate from the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah. I think with that, like that was, I had a bunch of music outside of Quantic Soul Orchestra that I wanted to release, and I think it was just a way of kind of getting it out. And I think it was, yeah, it's a really good fun. I'd like to do more. I think I realised two things in that: A, it's like if it's good music, it's better just to put it out on my album. And B, I just like running a band and producing records and kind of running around DJing and doing a label was just like, it was a case of like, okay, you know, maybe don't make music so much and like work on a record label or make more music. And I just, the last 2 years has just been about me deciding to make more music. You know, I've done like, I'll do like 20% of the DJ dates I used to do, and I just make music. So,
okay, last question: when you moved, what happened to your vinyl? Were you on vinyl last night? I was at the back. I was just bringing it up because I chatted to Mark Ray a couple of months ago, and he, yeah, 4 years ago he was saying, oh, I've done this mix CD, it's all vinyl, there's no computer trickery, you know, and now he's like, well, I'll have to leave my vinyl. I've moved to California. So, what about yourself?
Well, we're not all hanging out with Robbie Williams, are we?
Well, this is the man with the iPod ad. The iPod soundtrack.
That's true. Well, personally, for my taste, like vinyl would always sound better. The process is just like electromechanical. Yeah, it's just, you know, the whole thing, it's just, it's always going to be better. And it's...
Did you have to leave stuff behind?
Well, yeah, I mean, I left, like, pretty much...
At your mum's house?
No. Big yellow storage. No, I probably left, like, half my records. I took to Colombia just what I thought would be interesting to Colombians when I play there. So I bought, like, a bunch of African music. I pretty much left all the Latin music I had. A bunch of reggae and ska. For me, and now I'm just playing with a 45 box. I have Serato. I bring a box of 45s, you know, like an hour and a half worth of 45s, and then some Serato control discs, like 45 control discs, and then yeah, I just play pretty much with 45s. I played like one LP last night, but I think it is important to show you're playing vinyl still. Like at the end of the day, I'm an artist and I make records, so I think you need to demonstrate to people that you know your vinyl is still relevant and it's better. But yeah, just travelling and just the way, you know, like excess baggage and stuff. It's like you got to use Serato. Really,
the thing about Serato is a lot of people don't know that it's how it works either. So you're still looking like you're playing vinyl, and that's why it's top.
Yeah. Well, the thing, it depends how you present it. I mean, there's a lot of times I
hide the laptop under the desk.
The laptop, exactly. Well, there's a lot of times you go and there's like they put the, especially in like on the continent like Germany and stuff, you kind of find that they put this big like laptop stand, you know, like right,
yes,
front, like right in the middle, like just so you're really proud.
And two Pioneer CDJs just in case you need them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, no, I'm not proud. I don't want to show that I'm using it. But I am proud. The thing is that people need to realise is that I found a lot of... When Serato first came out, there weren't that many. I saw Mad Matt's play it, and I was really impressed with the way he used it. And I kind of got involved through that. And there weren't many people using it at the time. I was in New Zealand and I bought it there. And I don't know, like... there was a lot of people who had hate, I must say. A lot of people who now use it. Yeah. And had hate towards it at the start, and I think people need to remember is that like a lot of the music, pretty much entirely all the music I make on laptop, like in the first place. So I don't see what the problem is. Like I come with my laptop. That's the laptop I use when I DJ. It's the laptop that I use to record all this music.
Ashes to ashes, son.
Yeah. So it's like you know, it's just straight from the source, and it's better. I'd rather play Serato than CDs because I think, you know, you have the chance to play a better quality thing. But vinyl is always better. When I'm in Cali and I don't have to travel, I just go down the road. Then I'll bring a box of records and I'll just play records.
Okay, well, Holland, the next project is called
Tradition in Transition is the name of the album, which will be coming out I guess, in May, and it's by Quantic and his combo Barbara.
And what are you going to have for breakfast?
I think I'll have a veggie breakfast, mate, a couple of bangers, bubble and squeak.
It's probably cold by now, isn't it?
It probably is cold by now, but I've got to stock up before I go back to the Colombian wilderness without some English breakfast.
That's it. Well, enjoy your Christmas, New Year, and your honeymoon. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Thank you. Quantic, and you're listening to Agent J on Groovement.
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 Groovement. Now, are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
What up? You got the Rizzo right here.
This is Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Hey, yo, we got my boy Agent J right here doing it. You know what I mean? Putting the chemicals in the air, putting the chemicals in your ear. Bong.
Here on Groovement with Agent J.
This is Anthony giving it up to Manchester. You're listening to Unity Radio. Check it out.
Hey, yo, it's your boy Roots Maneuver bigging up Agent J on Unity Radio.
Agente J.
This is music.
Ustedes están escuchando Groovement.
Hey, yo, the original chicken to the Agent J dropping it down on the Groovement from Iquasi.
This is DJ Fuller on Groovement with Agent J.
Unity Radio.
Harbour International. Listen to Groovement. Agent J is the DJ.
Be cautious with Agent J.